What role does experimental design play as a driver of innovation? And what are designers actually doing in the lab? Today, Miriam Johnston and Johannes Völchert join us to discuss just that.
Design Perspectives, der Podcast des German Design Council.
Welcome to a new episode of Design Perspectives, the podcast by the German Design Council. My name is Jasmin Johar. I'm a freelance journalist and I'm thrilled to be hosting Design Perspectives for the first time. In today's episode, we explore the role of experimental design as a driver of innovation. I'm joined by two designers, Miriam Johnston and Johannes Völchert. Miriam researches experimental methods of coloration. Johannes works as innovation design lead at the Swiss sportswear manufacturer On. Both are part of the exhibition Dare to Design, Spaces of Care, which is on view at the Museum of Applied Arts in Cologne until October 12. It features a selection of works by this year's German design graduates. Miriam and Johannes, thank you both for taking the time. Miriam, your master thesis, Change in Colors, is one of the spotlight projects of this year's German design graduates. You explored how bacteria can be used to create colors through light refraction, the so-called structural colors. How did you come up with this scenario?
So the concept is about exploring structural color. For my project, I chose to work with flavobacteria. And flavobacteria is a marine rod-shaped bacteria that produces iridescent colors. And basically, the arrangement of the colony, they're moving in a highly organized way. This organized way is corresponding to the wavelengths of light in the same dimensions. So we're seeing various colors. I wanted to combine these structural colors with pigment colors, exploring the backdrop color to see the effect on the structural colors. I used various natural dyes and the biotube process to showcase a habitat for the flavobacteria.
As far as I know, you also use 3D printed biotubes. Could you tell us a little bit more about what this is?
Yeah, so the biotubes is a current Burg Labs research project developed by Hannah Kannenberg and Johann Bauerfeind. It's essentially using rapid liquid 3D prototyping in a hydrogel bath. The alginate's solidifying around the print gel, and you can remove the structure afterwards and wash it and then apply connectors. I find it particularly interesting for flavobacteria because the liquid nutrient media can flow through, which is important for flavobacteria, but also they need humidity to grow well. So that's supplied with the liquid. And another thing, I could supply different pigments in the nutrient media, and then this would act as a backdrop color for the structural color and change in the structural color. Because flavobacteria grow very fast, they move outwards in a ring shape, and they have a sort of transient temporal nature, I also wanted to use a material that can be easily de- and recomposed and work with the living aesthetics of flavobacteria.
And I also ask a question. So you're printing your like solution, let's say, with the bacterias into this hydrogel.
No, I'm printing. I printed the biotubes first and then I inoculated the structure with flavobacteria afterwards.
Okay. And then this combination you're printing into the gel.
It's printed. I'm supplying the dyed liquid nutrient medium, and then I'm letting the flavobacteria grow on the structure.
Okay. And this liquid printing, which part is it used?
For the habitat structure.
Okay.
It's more like a vessel where you inject the bacteria.
Yep.
And you grow the bacteria inside, and there it can refract the light.
Exactly. So they're growing on the surface. They're arranging themselves on the surface, creating structural color. I did have to experiment a lot with this because I realized that structural color is very sensitive to the material surface properties, and the alginate is obviously a very slippy material. So I had to experiment with different things.
And one quick question. So if you talk about structural light, so I assume something like a glass prism, and then it creates these three colors.
Yeah.
That's like on a microscopic level, this happens.
Yeah. So essentially, when white light is incident upon a material surface, the nanostructures of the bacterial arrangement correspond to the dimensions of the wavelengths of light, and that's causing the light to split. And depending on the angle we are or the material is, we see different colors.
The bacteria works like a prism, basically, like a glass prism.
It's like a microarchitecture that's splitting the light, yeah.
What would be the conclusion of your research? I mean, it's still on a very experimental status, but do you see any concrete potential applications for your project?
I see 3D printed biotube tile structures as a biomaterial which can be incorporated into spaces as a living habitat for flavobacteria. For example, could an installation of biotube tiles inoculated with flavobacteria provide a living wall for an event lasting several days, where the chroma and movement of the flavobacteria create a continually changing atmosphere, possibly revealing unexpected attributes? And how do other microorganisms interact with flavobacteria? Can flavobacteria coexist or interact with certain other pigment-producing microbes, creating striking structural colors as a result of symbiosis? I see the potential of bacteria producing structural color in many applications in smart technologies, responsive surfaces, and creating a dialogue, making the invisible visible.
Okay, thank you. Johannes, you selected Miriam's master thesis as one of this year's spotlight projects. So why did this project stand out to you?
So by reviewing the projects, this project stand out because it pulls design into the lab. It has a process as its core. And for me, if you talk about explorative design, it's about a process. It's not about a final product. And then also the applications of such a research is so wide and could be applied on many projects surrounding us. And then also defines design as a field of exploration, research, and craft.
And why do you think this is important to define design in this way?
Yeah, it's this combination of different industries or research fields. And then it's really something new. So it's not just another color, or it's not about being lightweight or fast. It's really something where someone starts researching at its core and then really defining new applications.
So you would say this is a novel and innovative approach. You have
exactly.
Not seen something like this before.
I mean, I'm not an expert in this field, but I chose this project because of its innovation level, let's say.
During your studies, you also worked experimentally or explorative, as you said. For your bachelor's thesis, also at Burg Giebichenstein, by the way, you developed a novel process for manufacturing shoes, where the upper is sprayed onto the sole in one piece. Why should design students engage in research like you did?
You as a designer could engage in research, but you could also ask someone else and get this knowledge. So it's not about becoming a researcher. From my point of view, it's gathering the right people, gathering the right skill set, and then being this agile, let's say, communicator in between, and then also being able to combine things in a new way. That's for me a good way to approach design and also end up with something explorative or innovative.
Miriam, as you already told us, you conducted a lot of your practical research in the biolab at Burg Giebichenstein, along with the scientists working there. So how would you describe your role as a designer in the context of scientifically supported research and development processes?
So my project is really my personal experience working at the interface of design and science. As a designer, I see my role as one of many collaborators, including diverse teams of scientists, designers, ecologists, and microbial systems. Truly circular materials require a diverse range of players, highlighting our interconnectedness with diverse micro and macro ecologies. I would really like to see more designers involved in scientific research from the outset, also helping to form a bridge by communicating ideas of the potential and possible benefits to a vast audience.
I also think, or I fully agree, that these bubbles of researchers and core experts in different fields, they have the problem to not really get this outside view onto their research fields. And I think exactly there, a designer or more a person focusing on design could really help connecting things in a new way. There's a lot of potential by becoming part of research projects in the right moment and then restructuring or connecting things in a fresh way.
From your experience, both of you, are researchers open to designers approaching them? Of course, wanting to share knowledge, but also maybe wanting to collaborate on a project. Are they open to requests like this? Or do you feel it's hard to enter other bubbles, scientific communities outside of design?
Like, I had some very positive responses from scientists, and it was really interesting, the exchanges, because I talked to scientists from different fields, and it was really interesting to get different perspectives, even from like biochemical engineering or applied physics, have a general overview of also the connections we can make.
Yeah, I also experienced similar things. So by approaching experts, so for them, it's also nice to see that someone else has an interest in their work and also pulls their work into a more visible environment, let's say. And best case scenario is if you already have an idea with their based on their research, and then they're super keen on getting to know more and also helping you out.
And do you feel the people you collaborated with understood the full potential of collaborating with a designer, what a designer can do, what they maybe cannot do so easily?
I experience it as an advantage to not be an engineer, for example, because then you're not competing with them. And they like to compete with others, with other engineers. And you're like this exotic person in this group. This was always a good experience.
Yeah, I think also for scientists, it's nice to see sometimes when there's like a design application, because sometimes they're working on very focused research, and then to see how a design application could look, I think it's also a nice process.
And to the question, if they understand the idea or the potential of the idea, so that's not often the case. But that's also with other designers, they will not understand the potential. So it's super important that you believe in your idea. And maybe you have a small supporting group helping you, but it's hard to imagine, let's say.
As we already said, both of you studied in Halle at the Burg Giebichenstein Kunsthochschule. Is this school a particularly good place for experimentation?
So being able to work at the University Biolab for my master's project was an amazing experience to get to know the lab processes better. And I gained a lot of support and encouragement from the lab staff. I was able to experiment, and I had the tools I needed to do this. A clean bench, an autoclave, an adapted 3D printer for biomaterials, and much more. And I had the opportunity to print my prototype with the robot arm in the X lab, which was another exciting experience.
But the overall like atmosphere, the vibe at the school, would you say it encourages the people working there, your professors, the other students? Do you think it's an environment that encourages you to experiment?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for me, this university provides first a base knowledge. I mean, that's a bit this Bauhaus approach.
like focus.
Exactly. And then the projects are really becoming super free. So then a theme could be hacker process and it could be anything. And this, it exposes you to this situation where there's no solution, not by learning a lot or doing something a lot, you will have a solution. And I think in this phase, and also getting used to this, the chance to come up with something different is much higher than having a clear plan or a quite narrow task to do. And I think this university is really good in embracing this and also give people time to then develop something or create something unique. And of course, if there's the more experimental or less safe way, many supporters going in this direction. And for example, in this lab, Miriam was mentioning friends of mine, they were helping building it up. So you could also get a job there. It's quite a family-like environment. But that's how I experienced it.
So Johannes, back to your work. You've been working for the Swiss sportswear manufacturer On for almost 6 years now, and including the task of bringing your bachelor's thesis concept to market maturity. What is the current status of the project?
So currently, also looking back 1 year, it's mainly about launching the idea, then being in several showcase scenarios around the world. But right now, the majority of the team is trying to scale up the technology, what means we were able to produce maybe 400 pairs. And now it's the question, how could we produce thousands of shoes? And then small details become big problems. So you're constantly trying to solve small details in a very reliable way in order to let them work in scale.
I understand. Could you give an example, or is this confidential?
An example is something works in one size, and then in the footwear industry, you always have to make a lot of sizes, in our case, 21 sizes. And then in size 4, it's not working. In size 7, it works. So that's really a pain in the ass to solve all these problems in all these sizes, because if we think about robot kinematics and everything changes in different sizes, so that's a problem.
I understand. You already talked about the need of persistency when you want to develop an experimental project like this. How do you feel at the moment? Do you think, oh my God, we still have to go so far? Or do you rather feel like we achieved, I and then later with the team at On, have already achieved so much?
Depends from which angle you look. From a business point of view, maybe it reflects or shines in an innovative way, but there's no money coming out of it. But from my point of view, from this initial concept creation to a working product, we achieved quite a lot. Yeah, I think the pen and paper is made, and now also other people can start drawing and bring their ideas into the system. Let's say that the technology or the way of manufacturing works, and now it's really open for others.
And your job title is Innovation Design Lead at On. So what are your main responsibilities, and which of these are genuine design tasks?
I have a small team, but it's not really about leading them. It's more about collaborating them, and we are equal in a way. And with this team, so we have such an in-depth knowledge about this technology, we try to consult and also develop special areas within the technology. But mainly we are supporting and consulting a wider group of people working in this technology.
Okay.
Let's say. And then you have still small tasks like, okay, how could this element be attached to the last? How could we change the material? How is other humidity affecting manufacturing? So that's the day-to-day task. So we come from exploration, and that's also the goal, to be more on exploration again, or at least my team will work in exploration.
You not only work on your
personal project, like the spray on technology, but you work on several different projects at On?
So it used to be that I worked on several projects. Then I worked mainly on LightSpray, and right now it's more consulting, managing, and pulling the right strings, let's say, within the technology. My orientation is, so I'm managing, but I'm also, or I'm interested in doing things by myself. So my goal is not to become a people lead. It's more this expert, let's say.
So you still have time and space for explorative work?
From time to time, yes. But it's also so exciting to now be fully engaged in this LightSpray project. So the personal interest is not that big, but it will come.
Miriam, when you hear Johannes talking about his professional experience at On, could you imagine yourself at a company like this working in a field in the industry, or where would you see yourself?
I think it's very exciting to hear what Johannes is doing at On. I'm not really sure which direction it's going to go for me yet, but I'm interested in a lot of things, sort of developing processes and experimental research.
Yeah, maybe to also answer this question, I was not aware of On. I never thought about joining a footwear company. I never thought about making shoes. And then by joining this company and joining a corporate system, I had a lot of, let's say, unknowns. But from my point of view, these days, such companies offer a very open and diverse work environment. And I never faced any challenges by being hired in such a big company. And so I can really encourage people trying this out and make their own experience. And then you also learn really good things, how you navigate through a corporate system, how you gain supporters, how you structure a meeting, how you be on point in a specific time, how you present in front of people. So you're also getting exposed to a business, let's say. And that's, at least to me, was quite helpful from being a designer and more this researcher, maybe in a workshop or a lab. And so it was it is still super valuable.
Another question for both of you. Are there any design studios or corporates or institutions that embody a research-driven approach that is a kind of role model for you?
So for me, an inspiration is the Faber Futures Studio in London. It's founded by Natse Odrey-Chiesa, and the studio fuses biotechnology and design inspirations. And then Ecologic Studio in London, where architects are using microalgae in their design innovation.
For me, it's Gramazio Cola from ETH. They develop digital fabrication processes for architectures. Then it's the self-assembly lab from MIT, Skyla. So they also developed the liquid printer Miriam was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always fascinated by this technology. Then it's Mary Oxman in New York. She also used to be a MIT professor. Then it's still Burg Liechtenstein. You have several companies in Berlin, and Stefan Dietz, for example, from a like product point of view.
In what settings, networks, or structures does design innovation actually take root? And can we actively encourage or catalyze it?
I think where you have interdisciplinary collaborations with designers and scientists. And I think collaborators need to be open to take risk, knowing that the ideas may not work, and be open to questioning and critical thinking.
And on the other side, designers or people working on innovations need supporters from bigger systems to help them really realizing.
Mm-hmm. What systems could that be?
Yeah, companies, also communities, collectives.
Did you ever try and find funding, public funding or funding from private foundations for your research, for your work?
In the beginning, there was the opportunity to work with Switzerland. So that's InnoSwiss, but On became too big to still be able or be allowed to do it. During university, it was always calling them, communicating the idea, and then they supported you with materials or machines, this kind of stuff, but not in a professional life, let's say. That's also an advantage of working in a bigger company.
You don't need that necessarily. Yeah. Miriam, any experience from your side on this?
Not with funding from projects, but obviously I did get my the flavobacteria from the Dutch company, the Dutch biotechnology company, Hoekemein. Yeah, and I was able to work at the Martin Luther University in the microbiology department before that.
And generally speaking, is the innovative potential of experimental design being fully utilized, whether in research or in industry?
So I think no. There's still a lot of work to do in this area. And it can be hard for a designer to understand the scientific papers which use specialist terms. And I think definitely collaborating at the intersection of disciplines requires extra perseverance.
Johannes, you said, can I be critical? Is this maybe a point where criticism comes in? Generally speaking, we talked a lot about the potential of experimental design, of a research-driven approach, but is this really fully utilized? Do you see that in the industry, apart from On, where you work now, or also in the scientific world, is it fully understood what design can do? Or do you think it would be necessary to promote it much more and to, in the end, work with this approach much more?
Yes, I do think many people believe that designing is about aesthetics and making objects pretty. And I think by universities like Buchliebenstein, people, if they go to this end year exhibition, they have a different view on design and also the how versatile it is. And this definitely helps to create more awareness about the possibilities of design or explorative design. Yes, I think there's still work to do, but it's also that just the field of design maybe changes over time. So I think this will organically also grow.
Do you feel that at the moment the field of design with its different disciplines is actually changing?
At On, there are many designers working on aesthetics and they probably used to work like this. There's then this AI component coming right now, or it is there, but it still will be based on aesthetics. For them, it's also good to stay in this field because there's a lot of demand in the industry to have this kind of designers. Maybe a downside of this explorative design and also working in research design fields is that you're investing a lot, but the level of concept is such a conceptual work, which means you're not really creating impact. And that's disappointing for people working in this field. And then sometimes by having conversations, they are a bit like, okay, but it's so nice to see what you do it on is really translating into impact. And yeah, it becomes real. And that's, I think, a unique situation that something really becomes real. And that's what many researchers and designers are
missing.
Miriam,
anything else from your side to add? How do you feel yourself as a designer in the moment, in the field, in the world? I don't know, what are the challenges?
I think things are changing. So I think material science, for example, that's mainly like in the science field, and designers haven't really played a role over the last maybe 50 years so much in the science because it's just become so complex. But I think with biology now and microbes coming into the lab, designers can start to play more of an active role in designing new materials and colors, microbial colors. And I think, yeah, for me, I'm a designer, but I don't really like to specify which direction because I think that's open now, because I think when, like, in terms of bio design, it can go.
So you feel like you're in a good position as a designer. Great. Good. Is there anything else you would like to add to the conversation?
I think for me, something was accepting that experimental design, it may not always work. A lot of my trials didn't work. And you have to value these as learning experiences and accept that it might take much longer. And scientific research, it's based on trials and testing and looking at very specific things. So being open that there might be a different time scale between design and science, and perseverance.
Yeah, maybe for me, designing or creating concepts, it's definitely, it should be a playground. And I also believe if only if you play, you could win. So that's dependent on each other. But then it's also our responsibility as a designer to wrap a radical sustainable concept into something sexy, let's say, which then really survives our marketing and also our capitalistic system, let's say. But you can really embed something. And that's a unique thing, because you can really influence the whole system or create a package which then flows into the system. That's a nice feeling, and that's happening right now.
Thank you very much, both of you, for this conversation and for sharing your insights on experimental and research-driven design. And for me, it has been very interesting, I would say. And what I personally take away is that it's a key point is working interdisciplinary, that you connect different fields, different players, and the designer is kind of the key in this process, that you connect everybody. And another takeaway I would see is from your side, Johannes, that the corporate world can offer an open and very diverse environment, and where you can realize a lot of your ideas and to finally come into being real, having an impact. And I think the third one is obviously you need a lot of perseverance to get all your ideas and projects coming through. And you need to be able to deal with failure and to start all over again and again. So thank you very much. Thank you also to our listeners.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. And of course, we would be delighted if you subscribe to Design Perspectives. And for questions and feedback and comments, just drop us a line at podcast@gdc.de. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Der Podcast Design Perspectives ist eine Produktion des German Design Council.